Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Friday, March 20th, 2026, and this is episode 340 of the show. We are bringing you the biggest and most debated stories that hit the front page yesterday, March 19th.
We have a really fantastic lineup for you today, Mike. We are going to be talking about a massive acquisition in the Python tooling space as Astral joins OpenAI. Then we have a wild legal story where the rapper Afroman won a defamation case brought against him by police officers.
After that, we will look at some actual good news about housing prices dropping in Austin, Texas. Then we are getting into some software philosophy with an argument arguing that a sufficiently detailed spec is just code. And finally, we will discuss Google's highly controversial new 24-hour waiting period for sideloading Android apps.
Let us kick things off with our first story, which racked up over 1,200 points. Astral, the company behind incredibly popular Python tools like Ruff and UV, announced they are joining OpenAI. Charlie Marsh, the founder of Astral, wrote a blog post saying they are joining the Codex team to push the frontier of AI and software development.
This is a huge deal for the Python ecosystem. For anyone who's been writing Python lately, Astral's tools have been absolute game changers. Charlie mentioned in the post that their tools have grown to hundreds of millions of downloads per month. He also emphasized that OpenAI is going to continue supporting their open source tools, and they will keep building in the open alongside the community.
It is a great exit for a solo technical founder, but looking at the Hacker News comments, the community is feeling a real mix of congratulations and deep skepticism. The top comment by Nilo KCK brought up a really fascinating concern. They pointed out that OpenAI and Anthropic seem to be making strategic plays to own the actual means of production and software.
Exactly. Nilo KCK noted that if AI models like Claude Code or Codex become the main interfaces for cloud development environments, those models need the fastest possible feedback cycles against build and test tooling. Having the authors of those tools in-house gives OpenAI a massive advantage. They could easily run a few versions ahead of the public releases and enjoy local economies of scale that the rest of the open source world just won't have access to.
It is the classic fear of capture. But there was also a really funny side debate in the thread about Python itself. Someone called Python a language for monkeys, which immediately sparked the classic Hacker News language wars. But a user named Tsuki had a great, grounded response. They said they used to do backend work in what they called superior languages, but now everything is machine learning and spatial data, and all the weird libraries only have Python bindings. Python might be messy, but it is the universal glue.
And that is exactly why Astral's work is so critical right now. As another commenter put it, UV is one of the few things making the Python ecosystem bearable. People were sharing their horror stories of pip and poetry environments getting trashed every 6 months. UV just came in, written in Rust, and solved the speed and correctness problems. We will have to see how being under the OpenAI umbrella changes their trajectory, but it is undeniably a massive shift in the DevTools landscape.
Moving on to a totally different kind of story, and one that got over 1,100 points yesterday. Afroman, the rapper famous for the early 2000s hit Because I Got High, was found not liable in a bizarre defamation case brought by Ohio police officers.
Sarah, this story is just wild. Back in August 2022, cops raided Afroman's home looking for drugs. They found absolutely nothing, and no charges were ever filed. But Afroman had home surveillance cameras that caught the entire raid. So he took that footage and made a satirical music video for a song called Lemon Pound Cake, because one of the officers was literally caught on camera eyeing a cake on his kitchen counter with his gun drawn.
It is hilarious, but the cops did not think so. Seven officers from the sheriff's office actually sued him. They claimed defamation, invasion of privacy, and intentional infliction of emotional distress, and they asked for nearly $4 million in damages. But the jury took one look at this and said, absolutely not liable. Afroman's lawyer successfully argued it was just free speech and social commentary on public officials doing a bad job. Afroman even testified saying, if they had not wrongly raided my house, I would not know their names and there would be no song.
The Hacker News comments on this were really interesting because they quickly pivoted from the absurdity of the lawsuit to a serious discussion about police militarization. A user named Nikola Novak asked a question that a lot of international readers ask. They wanted to know why the police in the video were bursting into a house with massive automatic rifles drawn and hair triggered just for a suspected drug search.
Yeah, that sparked a huge comparison between American and European policing. Someone linked to a Wikipedia article on the rise of the warrior cop. Another user, Rory Irvine, brought up statistics from Northern Ireland. They pointed out that the police force there had exactly one single firearm discharge over a 2-year period for a population of 2 million people. By comparison, they noted the San Francisco Police Department had 10 officer-involved shootings in just the past year for a population of 800,000.
The contrast is staggering. There was some defense of American cops in the threat, with people pointing out that they police a population that is vastly more likely to be heavily armed themselves. But the general consensus on the board was that suing a citizen for publishing literal security footage of a raid on their own home is a massive overreach. It is a big win for the First Amendment, and honestly, an incredible PR boost for Afroman.
Let us pivot to some good news for a change. A report from Pew Research got almost 800 points yesterday, detailing how Austin, Texas managed to drive down rent prices through a massive surge in new housing construction.
This is the YIMBY dream realized in real time. Between 2015 and 2024, Austin added 120,000 new homes to its housing stock. That is a 30% increase, which is more than 3 times the national growth rate. And the result is that rents actually fell. In apartment buildings with 50 or more units, rents fell 7% just from 2023 to 2024 alone. And they declined 11% in older, non-luxury buildings that cater to lower-income renters.
The article outlines exactly how Austin pulled this off. And it was not just one magic bullet. They created a new mixed-use zoning category that relaxed mandates. They eased regulations for accessory dwelling units, or ADUs, dropping minimum lot sizes and parking requirements. And in 2023, Austin became the largest U.S. city to eliminate minimum parking requirements citywide. They also passed a $250 million bond for affordable housing.
The Hacker News comment section was basically doing a victory lap on this one. The top comment by P. Clowis said it perfectly. They wrote, "It is wild how the solution to housing costs is really just building more housing. No rent control, no complex schemes, just build more."
Of course, it is never quite that simple in the comment section. A user named Leftstruck pointed out that the problem is not that we do not know the economic solution. The problem is that the people who have the majority vote typically already own houses, and they naturally do not want their property values to go down. It is a political problem disguised as an economic one.
We also saw the usual debates about corporate landlords. Some commentaries argued that investment companies buying up homes are the real problem, but user Windchaser pushed back with data, noting that investment companies own only about 2% of the housing market. The core issue in high-demand areas is simply a lack of supply. And inevitably, someone brought up a land value tax as the ultimate solution, which is a classic Hacker News bingo square. But overall, Austin proved that if you remove the regulatory barriers and just let developers build, the market will actually cool down.
Our next story gets into the philosophy of software engineering. It is a blog post from Haskell for All titled, "A Sufficiently Detailed Spec is Code." It racked up nearly 600 points and sparked a really deep debate about the future of AI coding agents.
The author is pushing back against this massive new hype around agentic coding. You know, the idea being sold right now that soon, software engineers will just become product managers who write plain English specifications, hand them off to a team of AI agents, and get a fully working app back. The author argues this is a total misconception based on the false idea that writing specifications is somehow easier or less rigorous than writing code.
To prove their point, the author looked at OpenAI's Symfony project, which is an agent orchestrator that OpenAI claims was generated from a markdown specification. But when you actually read that spec document, it is basically just code thinly veiled as English. It has prose dumps of database schemas, strict concurrency control formulas, and literal pseudocode algorithms. The author quotes the famous computer scientist Dijkstra, pointing out that trying to achieve precision in natural language is a vain attempt. We invented formal symbolisms and code for a very specific reason.
The author even tried feeding that exact Symfony spec into Claude Code to generate a Haskell version, and it failed completely. It was full of bugs, and the agent just spun silently without making progress. The author compared overly detailed specs to the Borges short story about the map of the empire that was exactly the same size as the empire itself. If your spec has to cover every edge case, it is just a programming language with terrible syntax.
The comments on Hacker News were really divided on this. A user named Bad Username argued that LLMs actually can generate working code from terse descriptions because they are extrapolation machines. They use their vast knowledge base to guess the missing details.
But that is exactly where the human element becomes crucial.
User DXDM pointed out that you do not want developers to just be coding monkeys anyway. The value of a senior engineer is in prudential judgment. It is asking questions like, what happens when this edge case occurs? Or have you thought about how this impacts the legacy system? AI agents just barrel ahead and make statistical guesses based on training data.
Right. User Bunderbunder compared it to working with outsourced development teams. If you hand off a spec without domain expertise or an understanding of the company culture, you quickly discover all the little unwritten details that are critical for success. LLMs are great for boilerplate, but when you are building complex systems where the details really matter, you still need a human brain translating the messy reality of the world into strict logic.
Our final story today is a highly controversial one from the Android ecosystem. Google has detailed a new 24-hour process to sideload unverified Android apps, starting with Android 16.1. This piece from Ars Technica got almost 600 points and a lot of very angry comments.
So here is the situation. Google is trying to combat malware and social engineering scams where victims are tricked into installing malicious apps by fake customer support or extortionists. Starting later this year, if you want to install an app from an unverified developer outside the Play Store, you have to jump through some massive hoops.
And when we say hoops, we mean it. You have to enable developer options by tapping the build number 7 times, find a hidden toggle, confirm you are not being coerced, enter your device PIN, restart your device, and then wait a full 24 hours before you can actually install the app. And by the way, for developers to become verified, they have to provide identification, upload signing keys, and pay a $25 fee to Google.
Google says this 24-hour cooling-off period is to break the spell of high-pressure scams, like someone calling and saying your bank account is frozen and you need to install this app right now to fix it. But power users on Hacker News are absolutely livid. They see this as a massive overreach and a dark pattern designed to kill off alternative app stores and independent developers who do not want to pay Google's fee.
The top comment by Talavex perfectly captured the mood of the thread. They predicted that this is just a glimpse into the future of Android. First, it is a 24-hour wait. Then they will shrink the allowed install window. Then they will make you register as a developer just to use your own phone. They argued it is all about driving people exclusively to Google Play and protecting their monopoly under the guise of user security.
Another user, Leland Fee, pointed out how Google already uses dark UX patterns in their own apps. They gave the example of the Gmail iOS app, where Google constantly prompts you to open links in Chrome instead of your default browser, with an unchecked toggle hidden at the bottom. It just erodes user trust when a company says they are doing something for your safety, but it conveniently also locks you further into their ecosystem.
It is the eternal walled garden debate. Google claims users are 50 times more likely to get malware outside the Play Store. And to be fair, for a lot of people globally, their phone is their only computer, and it holds their entire financial life. But for the Hacker News crowd, who grew up rooting their Androids, flashing custom ROMs, and championing open systems, this feels like the end of an era. It is turning general-purpose computers into locked-down appliances. Many commenters were hoping regulators step in to enforce some antitrust laws before sideloading becomes practically impossible.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of HN Pod. We covered a lot of ground today, from the tension between open source and AI giants, to free speech lawsuits, YIMBY victories, the philosophy of code, and the shrinking freedom on our mobile devices.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you want to read any of these articles or dive into the comment sections yourself to see the debates, you can find them on the front page of Hacker News from yesterday, March 19th.
We will be back tomorrow with another breakdown of the top stories. Have a great day, keep building, and we will see you tomorrow.